So anyway, back to slowing down. That's the subject right now.
Take two, expectations.
No, this is slowing down.
Take one, slowing down.
Actually, I think it's number two, slowing down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not funny.
Feeling the urgent illusion of separation?
Anyway, when you slow down, like I said, you know, you come in here and the pace seems so slow and not much seems to be happening. But at some point you begin to recognize, whether while you're in camp or after you leave, that, wow, a lot happened. A lot happened in those few days. And that's partially a product of the slowing down. The alternative is to, you know, get in this very anxious, mind-driven space where, you know, you've got this to-do list and everything's urgent, it has to be done by yesterday and like that. Well, you end up trying to do stuff that's just, well, it can't happen right now because now is not the time for it. So you spin a lot of wheels and you get more agitated and, I don't know, does this sound familiar to anybody? Sounds familiar to me. But curiously, when you slow down, you actually speed things up. One of the ways that things get slowed down here is the media fast. And again, that's not a punishment. That's actually something designed for our benefit. And it's one of the things that, well, the media, as just as the technology that it is actually designed to take you someplace else from where you are. What's the psychological term for that? Dissociation. It's very fast, very, very speedy. When I say it takes you away from where you are, it's like you're talking on your iPhone. You're not where you are, you're someplace else. Right? Isn't that what it's designed to do? Yeah. Versus you slow down and you take the time to actually be with people. And talk and connect and laugh and cry and all that good, rich stuff. Not only is that deeply nourishing, a lot can happen in those kinds of contexts that, well, just, you know, texting or tweeting or even phone calls, well, it's just not the same thing. Like if you consider, for example, just the depth and the richness of your interactions with each other. Small group of people who came here, strangers to each other. And you're not strangers anymore, are you? So getting caught up in speediness, which is driven by anxiety or fear, is another way that the one who's out to cheat you gets to cheat you. So, just, you know, all those media, I have some amazing news for you. There's an off switch on all of them. Yeah. So, necessarily you're going to have to engage with that somewhat because, you know, the modern life demands it. But there is an off switch and there is time, if you make the time, to, well, to do the things that really matter. Spend time with friends, go on a walk, enjoy your children, whatever it is for you, the things that really nourish your spirit. And that's another way of keeping that ember alive. And another one related to it is making sure that you get some regular exposure to what I'm going to call the right kind of company. And what I mean by that is the kind of company is the company of people who are, let's say, drawn to or interested in this kind of thing. What I mean by this kind of thing is relationships and experiences that are heart-centered, as distinct from mind-centered. Now, unfortunately, that's not necessarily so easy to find. But it is possible, and it's worth making some effort. So, spending time with people in those, in that way is, again, is a way of keeping the spark or the fire, the flame, alive in you. Because, you know, the kind of interactions you do have with people who are caught up, as all of us get sometimes, in the speedy, dissociated, anxiety-driven activities that society favors and rewards so much, well, it reinforces that, that view of life and what you need to do and how you need to do it. And if you have uninterrupted exposure to that, it kind of gets infectious. The experience of what you're living here, and it seems to fade off into the distance somewhere. And that seems to be the reality. And then something in you says, well, you know, that was kind of interesting, and we had a good time, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that was then, and this is now, and now it's back to reality. Back to the same coldness, distance, and hunger. So once again, the cheating energy is like rubbing his hands in glee, saying, not to defeat what the person got there. So don't do that. Seek out the right kind of company. And there are many ways to do that, but one of the wonderful ones is to attend what they call the community fire, sponsored by the community fire, the Sacred Fire Community Organization. And so there are initiated fire keepers dotted all over the place that hold these fire gatherings around consecrated fire. They have a wonderful and mysterious way of reigniting our hearts and helping people find their heart path. It's worthwhile seeking those gatherings out. That's one I can recommend because I know it well enough to recommend it. We have a few fire keepers here. Raise your hands, please. And that same organization, Sacred Fire Community Organization, also has a whole series of offerings called LifeWays programs that are designed to help us find our way to living in a heart-centered way through the different cycles and transitions of life. Birth, and childhood, and moving from childhood into adulthood, and death and dying, and deep explorations and discoverings about what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman. All kinds of wonderful things. So those are also very, very supportive, very helpful. Help to keep us getting sort of swamped in the tide of mind and secularism. And they can and do provide even a sense of community, which is very important because, you know, we're designed as social animals. We need community. And I'm going to say that community is another thing that's, real functional community. It's something that is quite a rarity these days. Yes, there are groups of people who have certain interest in common, but that's not quite the same thing. So just by the virtue of having been here these 5 days, well, four now, but it'll be five tomorrow, you do have community that was ready to welcome you. So take advantage of it. So related to that subject about community and the right kind of company and all that, is sometimes the question comes up about, when I do go back, a lot of times we feel a very natural desire, especially if you feel like you've received something beneficial here. It's just a natural desire to share that with friends and loved ones and family and so forth. But that's another place where you want to be smart about that. And here's what I mean. As much as you might like to think otherwise, the chances are that when you go back to wherever you're going back to, you're going to find yourself overwhelmingly in the company of people who have absolutely no, or most very, very little context for this experience. This experience that we call healing camp is a rare thing. It's a bit mysterious. Has anybody really figured out with their mind what actually is going on here and how it works? If you have, I'd be interested in knowing, because I don't know. I know it does work. It's a very mysterious process, and it's a process that few people, unfortunately, these days have any experience or context for. Therefore, they don't understand it. And the mind, for reasons which I think you can see, feels very challenged by anything it can't understand. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But this, by nature and by design, is not understandable by the mind. So, if you try to share with people by just talking about straight on about your experiences here, very often what you would find is that their mind sniffs out something mysterious that they can't understand, and therefore feels threatened. The mind feels threatened because, again, the mind wants to be able to understand and predict and therefore control everything. You've spoken about that in your classes, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, if you try and speak through the mind to another mind about something which the mind can't really grasp, and most often what happens is the other person's mind feels threatened and starts to defend itself. And very often the way it defends itself is by introducing doubt and cynicism. Now, there's a couple of problems with that scenario. Number one, if you somehow, in the interest of actually sharing some of your spark or ember that you came home with, have actually caused the person's defenses of the mind to stiffen, have you really helped them? The other problem is that the doubt that they will raise can affect you, particularly if it's a person who you respect. And then you begin to doubt. That being in that doubt is another way of taking away the mysterious whatever it is that you've received here. For some people it's more tangible, like I can say, well, this symptom got better and the other one seems to be gone and so on and so forth. Other people, yeah, some of that stuff happens, and there's something else which is beautiful and precious, but a bit intangible. But the mind, through doubt, can really do a lot to dismiss that as being fanciful or delusionary or something like that. And the mind can be very convincing that way. So, in the interest of sharing something good with somebody else, you can find, unfortunately, that unwittingly you're doing them a disservice and you too. So, there's a better way of sharing. And it's much easier, too. And that is just know that you are carrying that ember. Sometimes it's more than an ember, it's a blaze. It's with you. And the sparks and the fire are infectious too. It's a good infection. Especially if you don't do anything to make a person's mind more defensive, they will be touched and benefited by it. And you don't even have to say anything about the camp, because they'll just get it from your presence.